This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive, bit season, couple of regular guys, it's mid-season, go have yourself a laugh. It's mid-season, ah ha ha ha. It's mid-season. Mid-season, couple of regular guys. It's mid-season.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the big one, episode 75 of Bit Season.
The big one.
Well, it's a pretty big number. You got 25, 50, 75, and then 100.
What anniversary is that? Your 75th anniversary.
I believe you're dead.
That's very morbid.
And then maybe it's platinum?
Platinum. That could be platinum. Gold's 50. We all know that. Silver's 25. So let me...
I'm going to say platinum.
75 anniversary. NBA... NBA 75th anniversary team.
Yeah. Diamond.
Diamond. Oh, diamond level.
I'm dumb. Yeah. Diamond.
Diamond. I like that.
All right. This is our diamond show. Nice. I am the diamond cutter, drab t-shirt. Diamond.
I'm Matt Valdez.
And I'm Ryan Stallion. Why drab?
Diamond cutter?
Yeah. I mean, it was just random.
It's just a wrestling move.
I know.
Diamond Dallas Page. Yeah,
Diamond Dallas Page bit.
Yeah. Valdez is star of the show today. Nine hour. Big sauna man over there.
I am the sauna king.
You did the sauna.
I'm the sauna prince. Eric is the sauna king. I am the sauna prince.
You did a bit at gunpoint?
Basically, yes. And Blake Giffen is funny because he pointed out the fact that I said I'm out on bits, and then 2 weeks later I do a bit.
I was thinking that too.
Valdez is all talk. No, no morals or just stick-to-itiveness.
Let's be honest. I'm a performer at heart.
Yeah.
I'm a thespian.
What were you performing? You were sitting, sitting in a heat lamp thing.
The best part about the bit was watching Drab run the board.
That, I know. I agree.
Why did you keep looking over at me? I was doing fine. It was annoying me.
It was?
A little bit. I can figure it out. I know how to run a board. I'm not an idiot. I might make a mistake or two. If there was an issue, I would have flagged you down or something or ran and got somebody.
Well, that's just the producer sure everything is running smoothly.
Can I tell you why? Valdez likes to act like running that board.
It's like running a spaceship.
It's like launching a shuttle. Yeah. Okay? It took me 5 seconds to look around. All right, there's that one. Oh, I flubbed that button. All right, fixed it. Got it. All right, I think I'm good. All right, we're good. He kept looking like I'm like he's at the plate and I'm the third base coach. He was making me uncomfortable how often he was looking at me.
Well, I was also seeing if you're into the segment too.
I was into the segment. I thought you were doing a good job. Now I was intrigued by the fact that because I know you and I know that you didn't really want to be shirtless. And I was also thinking about how I would have played that segment out.
Same.
Everyone's fearful of being on television shirtless.
Well, we're not kids anymore.
That is true.
And it's just Twitter is a nasty place, and JP Flame is not.
All right. First, can we address the elephant in the room? And I'm not talking about me. Now the song. I'm talking about JP's lack of social decorum.
Yeah, no.
Social media.
It's very
decorum.
Frustrating. Did you appreciate how I had your back
behind
the scenes?
I did. I appreciated you. And then all of a sudden, I get out of the sauna. I finally towel down and I'm getting everything together. I'm fixing all of Drab's mistakes he made on the board. And
<I'm sure. laughs> so many.
and all of a sudden, my phone is lit up like a Christmas tree. Full of negativity, and all of a sudden I see JP posting three pictures of me coming out of the sauna. And you know what? Maybe half of one was flattering.
Yeah. I didn't think you looked bad, but just the fact that JP is, how do I say this? So he doesn't think. JP loves his body. Okay, JP loves him some JP.
If I was 53 and I looked like JP, I probably would too.
Of course, he's well.
I would take that body in a heartbeat.
He eats well. Mm-hmm. He
exercises.
Exercises all the time. Yeah, it's well
doesn't,
earned.
Doesn't poison it with
but he's
beer.
He's been this way for his entire life, so he doesn't think about other people's feelings. Mm-hmm. So he just fired off, and JP doesn't hate himself like everybody hates themselves.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Everyone else around here hates themselves.
Yeah.
JP doesn't have that gene in him, so he doesn't think, oh, this person probably is going to think about this photo that I posted and all the negative comments are going to come for the next 2 months if I fire this photo up there. He doesn't protect you in that way. So of course he took photos of Valdez and immediately fired him up on Twitter. And,
this is the issue that I had. Number one, I don't care if he wants to post me shirtless because I think that's kind of funny coming out of there all sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
But why are you only taking three pictures? Okay, you should be like an Instagram model, and you should be taking 3,000 pictures. All right, and then we scan through them, and we pick the most flattering ones.
He was hosting. I guess we didn't really prepare it well enough, where we should have had someone in here taking.
Well, that's also another thing.
And I was running the board, so it wasn't my duty.
Well, according to JP, he's the new social media manager at the fan. but that's what. He didn't come check with me because might have been able to crop some stuff out. We might have been able to.
I know that's
to
the
make
thing.
Put some sort of filter on
I
there.
I feel like we've had this conversation with JP Flame 1,000 times. JP, please scan the photo. Look to see if anybody looks unflattering or an idiot or their eyes are closed. Anything. He never does it. He just bing, bing, bing. Fire up onto the World Wide Web.
Yeah, and it's the most old man move in the world, where you only take the amount that you want.
I know,
right?
Well, I know
Don't you know? Like, have you ever had to take a picture for girls and you have to take 20 pictures at 20 different angles? That's what you have to do nowadays.
I know, mm-hmm. But that's because JP doesn't believe he's unflattering in any photos. So it's just like he sees it and up it goes. You know, that's how he's wired. The rest of us, like Valdez, now has to stay off Twitter all weekend.
Yeah, you don't realize this. I need Eric to like say bring Carson Wentz back. All right, just to cleanse my timeline.
Do you want me to go on Twitter and delete the photo later today?
No, because then you're along with this, you're just bringing attention to it. So now all of a sudden you delete the picture where I'm naked and online.
Right. Well, you know that I had to talk to JP earlier this week about his social media. This is all in the same category.
It's all encompassing.
But because he posted that photo of Nick Carter. Uh-huh. With his big beer belly and looking unflattering.
Speaking of beer bellies and unflattering.
And he posted on Facebook and Twitter, and we just got annihilated in the comments.
Yeah, body
did you
shaming.
See this? You're nodding, right?
I did see this, yes.
And so I'm trying to explain to JP that this radio show, we're in a bubble here.
We're in a vacuum.
We're insulated from all the criticism out there because we're just talking to ourselves. Also, it's an audio medium. People just move on with their lives. It's not lingering.
They listen for 5 minutes and they move on. They don't linger online about what's going on.
There's context to everything that we're saying because we're using dialogue to explain our thoughts. JP just found that photo of Nick Carter and throws it up on Facebook and says, hey, what happened to this guy? And then literally hundreds of comments, almost every one of them is, you guys are assholes. You guys look like pigs too. Who are you to criticize this guy?
Show us your guts.
Also, then or stuff will go viral if he does it on Twitter where people don't even know who the junkies are. Uh-huh. Then we're caught
in
like...
Yeah, then all of a sudden we're caught body shaming and then we're like body shaming
We're
world.
Like in the woke crosshairs or something. And it's just, the radio show and social media
are completely different.
They're different. They're so different. They don't transcend.
The audiences are much different, in my opinion.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. So
I appreciate JP basically scratching and clawing for every listener possible, but he has to realize that.
No. He said, look at the engagements on it. And I go, oh my God, JP, those aren't, there's nothing positive in here.
They're trying to get you canceled.
This is people calling for our jobs. Yeah. This isn't good engagement. Yeah. So we don't want to take away from it, from JP, because he does do the grinding of it and posting all the time. And it can be frustrating. He's just in his own world. He doesn't understand.
Like I said, I know I will not be involved on Twitter. So I won't have any idea what's going on in the world.
I didn't see any negative comments about you.
I didn't either.
Oh, you didn't?
I did not.
Oh, someone compared me to Tony Saragusa.
Oh, God.
And I wish I was 6 feet under like that. After reading all that.
I will say, there's this one photo on Instagram. I think this is a good picture. You look slim in this one.
Let me see.
I think this is a good one.
Well, that's a good angle.
It's a good angle right there from JP. You see the jawline.
Yeah,
I think
you can
that's
actually
a good
see
one.
My jaw. In the whole JP. I tell him. I said, JP, you should ask me if this is flattering because I look like a beached whale in all these pictures.
I'm telling you, don't look. I'm going to read you some of these positive comments.
Okay, I know, but now JP's mission is he's sending me positive tweets through text now. All right, here. Make me feel good, please.
Matt, you are doing a good job working out, dude.
Thank you.
Wow, Matt Valdez has lost several pounds.
That's
kind of a backhanded compliment, but I'll take it.
No, that's a nice compliment. Yeah. You weren't satisfied with how you looked.
No, I wasn't.
Here's another one. I can't unsee this now.
That could be good. That could be, I can't unsee this in a good way.
All right, and here's my favorite comment.
All right, let me hear their favorite.
That sauna is more garbage than I thought.
Can we talk about Eric's sales pitch?
Why is he so obsessed with this sauna? What is going on?
I don't know. And when did all of a sudden did Eric turn into a granola health nut hippie?
It's not making sense.
You would think for the person who is so self-conscious about his health, he wouldn't drown his sorrows in whiskey four nights out of the week.
Yeah, I don't. It's just some weird thing kick that he's on. It's not. It's not that he likes it.
Is it a weird kick?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think he'll be over this?
No, what's the ETA? No, he'll like occasionally bring it up, but he'll stop using it. He'll come up with a reason why he stopped using it. You know, it smelled too bad. Dina didn't like cleaning it up or something like that. So then he'll stop using it.
No. This is going to be his thing. I'm on hiatus. I'm upgrading to a better sauna room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. He could use that one, but is this like a New York Italian thing or something?
That's what I started thinking, is that it's a Vinny and Joe thing. So we all know Vinny and Joe are the drinking leaders in Eric's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think this is their cheat way of Vinny and Joe of detoxing.
So they can sweat out the booze.
Yeah, so they can get back on the horse the next day.
Right? That's a good theory.
They just get done their Marist tailgate. Vinny and Joe, they polish off a handle of Fireball.
Mm-hmm.
All right. After the game, they do their post tailgate. And then all of a sudden, they got to be ready to go out to the Marist bars with their kids at 10 o'clock. What's the best way to get ready for that after a full day of drinking?
No, they sweat it out. They do it Saturday night when they get home. All right. Because these matches are like they party on Friday nights, they pregame. Then they go to the LAX game. They're drinking at the LAX game. And then sometimes they go out afterwards, but a lot of times they'll probably go home, right? Uh-huh. Then they sweat it out at home.
Two days worth of booze in 30
then,
minutes.
And then, like, good Italians, they wake up on Sunday morning and go to mass. Right? They're going to be ready for church on Sunday.
Yeah, they can't smell like buka at church, so they sweat it out Saturday night.
Exactly. All right, we're putting it all together here.
That does make sense, doesn't it?
It does. It's definitely got to be a Vinny and Joe thing.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So I'm the impressionable one. I'm the one that's been roped into this. Are you into the sauna? Are you into that kind of sauna?
I think it would be fun to have at my house if I had the room. I don't have the room.
It tilts me when Eric just goes, "Oh, I just keep that in my junk room." I was like, I don't.
Well, he's well off, and he's earned his.
I have a junk house. I don't have a junk room.
Well, it also makes me think. How messy is EB's house?
Oh, yeah, because that thing is not flattering looking.
It's so ugly. We've already joned on that rec room before, and I just think that he probably has just crap all over. He's already got the podcast and the computer set up and all the recording equipment. Uh-huh. How disorganized is that basement where he spends all his time?
You know, it's like a romper room. Yeah. It looks like Toys R Us in that thing. And you know, honestly, it looks so like robotic. It looks weird.
Well, I think that's just the color. You could get black one or something like that. It's silver, so it looks futuristic and weird. But
also,
hey, it was a good bit by you. You know, Eric asked you to do it, and it was kind of weird. Eric was like, hey,
"Oh yeah, that I want to talk about that."
We asked Eric to get into it, and
what's weird is on air we've begged Eric to do what I did, essentially.
Okay, as far as bits go, this is
so tame.
A nothing burger.
Okay, like this is a pimple on our
everyone has done over their radio career, junkies included. This is nothing. Sitting in a sauna for 20 minutes. EB refused to do it on air. He refused, and we pleaded with him on air, then off air we asked him and he was saying, "I'm not doing that. I've done enough bits in my day," or something like that, right? I'm not going to embarrass myself.
I don't understand how this is embarrassing.
Well, the photo of you shirtless, I guess, at the end was, but nobody was supposed to see that because you were wearing a shirt when you took your shirt off inside. I thought you played it well in the beginning, and then you forgot and you left the shirt in there, and then you let them talk into you.
Just stepping out.
I would have never allowed that.
If I was smart. If I had to do this over again, number one, I would draw abs on myself. I would go in with my shirt on, take it off underneath, and then step out and look like Ronaldo.
If Awad was doing it, you would have thought of him drawing abs on himself. Like, you would have been thinking about the bit more and how to, you would have had to make it funny.
I was in there trying to be entertaining.
Right.
And I wasn't thinking of the long game, the payoff at the end. Like when I gave Clary panties for Lisa Ann design.
That was silly.
What was the payoff?
I don't know. That's a better question.
I thought it was fine segment. I didn't hate it. It killed the segment, but there was no, he kept saying, like, 20 minutes. And I'm like, all right, well, what's the big payoff? Like, nothing really happened. You just unzipped it and you stepped out. And it was over.
Also, coming up next,
we'll get Valdez's recap. How does he feel? 30 minutes later. We're beating a dead horse here.
All of a sudden, he expected me to, like I walk out of that, and all of a sudden, I'm black.
Or you were going to fall on the ground. You just be so exhausted, dehydrated.
My legs are atrophied, like I'm Forrest Gump or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he was expecting. Also, I have to add that Eric's pain threshold, is the tiniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I know.
Number one, he keeps warning me that my ass is going to burn, my balls are going to burn. It's going to be bad, and I'm going to hate it. And
also, we found out he keeps the thing half unzipped because he's texting the whole time.
Yes. Yeah. Right. I actually think he wanted to kill me. I'm not gonna lie, he wanted to harm me. But I told Eric, and like I said on air, the only thing that was bad about the sauna, it wasn't the heat, it wasn't the sweat. I've sweated before. I've been in a sauna before. Mm-hmm. I've worked out in a hot studio before. Sometimes this studio feels like a sauna.
I did turn the heat on. That's right, turn the heat on.
But for Eric to be like, make sure you drink lots of water, make sure you're okay. It made me think less. Eric's less of a man than he is.
You know what? This would have been a better bit is if it was the chirotherapy thing, and it's like -200 degrees in there, right? And then you have to freeze yourself, something you haven't done before. We've all been in a sauna before,
right?
So we kind of all know what it feels like. Even though I'm intrigued by the portable sauna, I just don't think that I have room in my life for that.
Here's the thing. Is that I plan to use this. Mm-hmm. I don't know the shelf life of me using it.
When do we put Clary? Clary will step in that thing.
I can do it. I mean, no,
it's a half hour warm up.
Yeah,
and
but
all
you're, gonna get my you're gonna get my sloppy seconds in there.
Somebody said it already smells.
Who said that?
Well, no, it doesn't smell like BO or anything. It just smells like chlorine almost. like a bleach.
Maybe somebody already cleaned it.
I have to go get a squirt bottle full of disinfecting.
Yeah, that's the problem with it.
Yeah, it's more maintenance than a car. I'm not gonna lie. That's the downside.
It's just one of those things you have to be really into. It's like a Peloton.
Wouldn't mind. This is what I think is after a workout or something like that. I wouldn't mind hopping in that when I get home after CrossFit. Which I'm giving payola to according to Draft.
Valdez was wearing his gym's t-shirt because he knew he was going to be front and center on TV.
What's
today.
The address?
And he can't say the mill on air, so he has to wear the t-shirt for people to see.
I'm always thinking. Draft caught me with my hand in the cookie jar. But I could see myself using it. But the problem is going to be the upkeep and the maintenance.
Yeah, it's too much.
And then breaking it down. If I got to break it down and put it back together all the time and lay these towels out, then wash the towels, and then scrub on the inside, get all the mildew out. Mm-hmm. That's the pain in the butt. That's the problem with it. If I had something I could just walk into and use, I would do it 100 times out of 100.
Yeah. It's It's only the second most embarrassing thing that EB's pimping on Twitter this week. We can't talk about the other thing.
All right. Hey, you know what's good? Do you think Eric will retweet me selling the sauna that he gave me, and then we all sign it, and someone will buy it?
Oh, 100% somebody would. You can make your money back.
Yeah.
That'd be silly.
Make his money
back.
Yeah,
you guys each get a little bit. So we had two really, I thought, some interesting segments here the last couple days. Ones that, I just know Valdez, and I know that he gets a kick out of talking about these two things. School lunches and your driver's test. We just love nostalgia on the show. We talked about it, and everybody loves nostalgia. And so let's talk about the driver's test. We talked about earlier in the week how we said that Gen Z, that Clary's out there, are no longer interested in, well, I guess Clary's a little older than 15 and 16 year olds.
Yeah.
But it's all same, you know, same generation. Gen Z, not interested in driving. They're hardly getting their driver's licenses. And then we also start talking about today a little bit about the time we first got our learner's permit and some of those memories of hopping in a car for the first time.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
What was your first ride?
My first ride?
Yeah, your first car.
My first car was a 1991 Isuzu Trooper.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, you had a... What year were you driving? That is a hoopty. That's a 15-year-old car. No.
That thing was like riding around Pasadena in a Sherman tank. All right. I could do anything. I could hit a deer, and that deer's mom would die. That's how big it was.
So you had a 15-year-old car in high school?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Props to you. I mean, that's the perfect high school car.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's the junk cars.
I think my parents gave it to me because it had muffler problems, and you could hear me. You could literally hear me from 5 miles away. My parents knew when I was coming home. There was no sneaking out or sneaking in. It's actually a genius parent move. And there was 0% chance I could sneak into the house with my Isuzu Trooper.
I had a pretty good car for high school because I got a hand-me-down from my brother. We just didn't have enough cars, I think, when my older brothers first started driving. So my parents, and that was like in 95 or 96, 95. Yeah. So my parents bought him a 95 pickup truck.
Oh.
Ooh. Okay, but it was like the lowest level car.
Okay.
Or low, like it was $15,000. I remember it's $15,000. And so then I got that car in like 2000. So the year 2000, I was driving a 5-year-old pickup, but compared to like a lot of other kids,
silly.
And its nickname was Caucasian Heat. I remember.
What?
It was dumb because
why?
And I was big into wrestling, and there was like a wrestler's nickname or something called Latino Heat. I don't even, barely remember. When we were all into wrestling because we were stupid.
When I was a senior, my mom used to let me drive her Camry. All over Pasadena instead of the Trooper, and that was called the Killa Cam because Cameron was hot back then. Back in the early 2000s,
everybody called their Camry Cameron.
Yeah. I wasn't being creative.
That's funny. All right, what did Clary drive in high school? Spoiled kid, I'm sure.
No,
I'm sure
he got
Fairfax County.
Anything you wanted?
I had nothing. I had a 2000. Dodge Stratus to where the door would fall off when you'd open it, the inside of the door. So when you'd open it, every time it'd fall out, and then you'd have to hold it in place, hold it in shut, and then slam it shut so it stays in and doesn't kill the interior.
Were your windows automatic?
They were. Uh-huh. So they were there. But then again, look up the 2000
Dodge Nissan
Stratus.
Pickup. He had to roll up the windows by hand.
I'm sure your pickup was nicer than this car.
Hey, I sent you a picture of the Trooper. I didn't know if you knew what they look like.
All right. Where is it?
I DM'd it to you. Now,
I know what a Zuzu Trooper looks like.
That's the exact thing that I had.
Hey, that's a nice ride. That's actually way cooler than mine.
That's also waxed and not rusted over like mine was.
This was my car, the 2000 Dodge Strat, except gray.
I just all I think about is Will Ferrell screaming, "I drive a Dodge Stratus."
So when I went to ASU, my little brother got the pickup truck, and he got into a car wreck and totaled it. So that meant when it was time for my car in college, my dad decided to fix up the classic car in the driveway. A 1976 Dodge Dart. Okay. Why don't you Google that?
What'd that look like?
It looked like a boat on wheels. Ugly boat on wheels.
Hey, do you know, this is what makes me sad is that all of these kids that aren't getting their licenses.
No.
All these kids that aren't getting their licenses, they don't know the joy of just riding around.
Right. Yeah. Well, sorry, I was distracted. So think about it. I'm going to Arizona State with a hot smoking hotties all over the place, and my dad was driving, brought me down to 26-year-old car.
Hey, that looks like the General Liam.
Yeah. Like a white General Liam. Yeah. But it wasn't
actually,
fast.
It's like the General Ree. Write that down.
Right? And the best thing that ever happened to me was my dad was driving that on a trailer down from Washington State to Arizona, and he drove off a cliff. All right.
It was fate.
Totaled their Durango and the Dodge Dart. And so
the big Dodge clan.
Love Dodges. And so they had to buy me a new car in Arizona. Yes. Luckily, my dad survived. No injuries or anything like that. I don't even remember how they got back to Phoenix. Maybe they hitchhiked. I don't remember. But when he got there, they had to go to the dealership and buy me a car. They bought me a used car, but it wasn't a 26-year-old car.
You didn't get spoiled.
No, I got like a Ford Focus or something.
Yeah, something crap. Yeah, but Ford Focus. But when you're 20 years old in college, Ford Focus,
silly,
so much better than that. Like Bo Duke.
Do you? Why did they let us? Why do they let teenagers just get in a car and drive?
I don't know.
With your parents,
but I don't understand that. But also. I'm going to throw this out there again because nobody commented.
Mm-hmm.
The joy of just driving around, meeting at the McDonald's, where at 9 o'clock at night, hanging out, eating a burger, and then just driving to the next place where everyone goes and hangs out for another 30 minutes.
That was usually to the park to smoke weed.
Yeah.
That's usually what we did. Yep.
Did you guys play any white trash games?
What are white trash games?
I mean, did you ever play Padiddle?
No.
I'm intrigued.
You're intrigued?
By Padiddle?
By Padiddle.
Sounds like fornicating to me.
All right. Number one, you can only play this with girls in the car.
I hope so.
All right. All right, Padiddle is, maybe this is just a passenger.
That's going to be, but I can't wait to hear it.
All right, you're cruising around in the car.
So you and the homies.
Not all homies.
Sorry, some homegirls.
Homies.
All right.
Typically, you would want your buddy in the back seat, a girl in the back seat, and then like a girl sitting next to you.
All right,
and you're driving around, and anytime you see a car with a headlight or taillight out, you have to slap the roof and say Padiddle.
Wait, that stinks. That's not what I was hoping.
No. And the last one to do it has to take off an article of clothing.
Okay. How long were you guys driving around? I don't see a lot.
I'll drive around until I'm out of gas.
Hey, I'm lost, guys. Where are we? Yeah. Let's just keep driving around until I find a place.
No, I would tell my buddies, hey, I'm driving by. I'm getting ready to play Padiddle. Come up, go under your headlights.
Padiddle. Where does the name come from?
I don't know. I just remember playing it in high school.
Mm.
with with girls that I know. That sounds kind of creepy, though. Doesn't it? Yeah, it sounds like just an this is what you would do.
You had consent. Everybody's on the same page.
Yeah.
Some of the best memories in high school are definitely just riding around with the boys. And I brought this up on the other day on the Junkies. Car culture is dead, and it bumps me out. Okay, now look, Valdez and I, we're from more hillbilly areas for sure, where we just didn't have a lot of things going on, so we spent more of our free time and entertainment on our cars.
Or we spent a lot of the time coveting,
yes. Reading Car Trends magazine.
This is my dream car.
Yeah,
my dream car.
Or we'd be looking at spoilers and subwoofers and rims.
I want to black out my my Camry logos,
but you had no money,
so you
had to do it the cheapest way possible. Did kids in your high school ever do that? Were you guys into cars?
I mean, of course people are into cars. I just don't get the Jeeps and stuff.
I just don't get the feeling that high school kids are into the car culture as much as back
Not as much anymore.
And back in the 70s, that's all they cared about.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
That was like your baby.
Right.
No, I think it's because kids these days, I sound old when I say that. Kids these days, they like when you're 16, your car is everything to you. It's like a car, like a car is not just a status symbol, but it's also a reflection on you.
Right.
So you're into that. But nowadays, kids just have more things, whether it's a car, electronic, you know what I mean? A kid would rather have like the most updated iPhone, I feel like, than to have the most popular Mustang, Shelby, Cobra,
They're spending their money on their Fortnite characters.
Yes, that's exactly what it's like.
That's literally all you spent your money on back in the day in high school was improving your car.
Yes.
putting dumb stuff on your car.
You had the biggest muffler known to man. I was so envious of those big-ass mufflers on those Mitsubishi Eclipses. That's all I wanted.
I know.
Was the hottest Eclipse.
My buddy Ryan Kautsky had the biggest speaker system I've ever seen. His entire trunk was one giant speaker and subwoofers
He was like the big timers. Right?
Yeah. But he was also into like engineering and stuff too. So he was a geek about all this stuff. Uh-huh.
You're forgetting is we're in the infancy stages of Fast and Furious.
So we want
neon lights underneath our car. We want blacked out windows.
See, when I see high schoolers driving now, I just see them driving their mom's Nissan Sentra or something. Like, there's no personality in these cars,
right? They don't have fuzzy dice hanging from the mirror. Yeah, Dram wants to bring back fuzzy dice. Yeah.
I may have had fuzzy dice in my mirror at one point. I can't remember.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did you keep that thing on you when you were at your car?
What do you mean that thing?
I'm talking about your baseball bat in case S went down.
What? No, I never had a baseball bat.
You always kept your baseball bat.
Really?
Yes.
I wasn't on the baseball team.
neither was I.
Clary was on the baseball team.
I had the baseball bat near me all the time.
You always keep that thing on.
I keep that thing on me.
Because you never know when someone you know might get jumped. You never know when S might hit the fan.
I may have had like a drywall knife or something like that. But definitely not a baseball bat.
I kept an Easton Black Magic in my trunk.
I had an Easton Rapture. That was in my trunk.
There you go.
Hey, I would swing that at people and say, feel the rapture.
Did you guys have off-campus lunches? I'm merging the topics here,
This is great.
We would all pile into our cars.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I feel bad for these high school kids now, man. Mm-hmm. Or even...
Yeah, you can't leave.
You can't go off campus.
You can't come back in.
Yep.
We would... So school would end at 1:55. Mm-hmm. And the last period of the day, our teacher used to let us go out to our car and drive to Subway for $5 footlongs.
The last subject of the, or last class of the
day?
Yeah,
the last class of the day was like some history.
Oh, wait, wait. You guys couldn't leave during lunch?
No, we
You said you couldn't come back.
No. I'm saying kids these days, they can't come back. But yes, you could leave during lunch. You could do whatever you wanted.
Why is that? Too many car accidents or what?
That, and then I guess you're responsible for the kids, so the parents might sue the school or the county for letting them leave or something like that.
I remember we would always sprint to the car, all right? Six people pile into a car, and we'd be wearing seatbelts. We'd drive to McDonald's. We'd get a couple cheeseburgers that, like back in the day when McDonald's was having that cheeseburger sale, they were like 39
cents. Yeah, 39 cent burgers. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So you get a bunch of those, and then we'd go over to the Knight Brothers house and we'd watch Jerry Springer. We did that all junior year.
Can you imagine all the bros hanging out at the couch? Go, Jerry, 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 Jerry.
Dude, it was a total bro fest. I loved it. And then sometimes we'd watch Wings.
Steve
Wilco.
Yeah. So our teacher used to let us, so we would be able to go to Subway because they just opened the Subway in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. So it was a huge thing. It was a $5 footlong when they were actually $5.
Yeah.
He would say, beginning of class, he'd say, "Hey, we're hungry. Can we go to Subway?" And then he'd say, "If you bring me back something."
And that teacher played you. You dummies.
So five of us would lump in a car together. All right. Mm-hmm. And then we would say, "It's a $6 foot long because we got to get Mr. Bland his turkey." All right. And then we'll come back and we eat our Subway in the middle of class.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's silly.
Yeah. What's silly?
I like that. So, Claire, were you allowed to leave campus?
You weren't allowed to. You were not allowed to.
So you're a big school lunch guy?
No. I found my ways out. I was a sneaky son of a gun. But I will say, you weren't allowed to, and if you got caught, like, you'd be in huge trouble. And it's all because of, like, the school shooting stuff. Because, I mean...
kids were going to, like, getting their guns.
Yeah, that's why they cracked down on security. Mm. Like, there was no such thing as, like, open doors. Like, every single door was locked.
Well, Columbine happened before I was in high school.
It was the... There were numerous... There's been numerous shootings.
It was the uptick.
The uptick in shootings. Not the one-off. Sorry. I'm not laughing at the shootings.
I'm laughing at your grammar.
Yeah, my grammar, yeah.
No. I was actually... I was that guy that brought my own lunch. And then I realized how much of a loser
I was.
You're
such a loser.
Yeah. Yeah.
You bring your own lunch.
I was such a loser that I realized I didn't want to carry this brown paper bag around for two periods. And it was much easier to have money.
Oh, did you guys have lockers?
Yeah, we had lockers, mm-hmm. but I wasn't going to leave my lunch in my locker.
Yeah, I don't... I was never a cold lunch kid.
What would you guys do if you didn't eat your... at home lunch? What would you guys do with that lunch at the end of the day? Because we had a tradition at Falls Church High School.
Well, no, I didn't. Well, I didn't start bringing my lunch, but I never once ate
in the cafeteria at high school.
Besides,
for lunch.
Okay. I ate besides Turkey Day, I would just get chicken nuggets, rice, and two chocolate milks every day, and tater tots.
Hey, did your cafeteria open
$1.10?
Was your
silly?
Was your cafeteria open for breakfast? And
yes,
like,
yeah. But, yes.
You
but,
could
but,
go
but,
take a leak in the middle.
All the weird kids ate breakfast.
I know. Yes, they did. They did. I agree with that. But could you leave your class, right, first period, and go get like cookies in the middle of class and come back?
Actually, in our high school, we had an Otis Spunkmeyer.
Oh, yeah.
So, a cookie place that was like in the school store. They would bake the Otis Spunkmeyer things. And they'd bake them at 7:30 in the morning.
You're just waffling. These
chocolate cookies when you walk in. And then everyone spends their lunch money on Otis Spunkmeyer cookies in the morning. And then they go hungry the rest of the day. Or they're doing a wake and bake before they come into school. And they're buying all the cookies.
So you had to eat the school lunch all the time or the cold lunch?
No. So I would bring
my lunch.
Does
anybody else call it cold lunch or is that just me?
What do you mean?
Cold lunch. So I guess in elementary school, you had a hot lunch, which was the lunch lady.
Yes, we heard the cold lunch.
Or your cold lunch you brought from home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, they had like sandwich. They would have like a crappy sandwich they would give you if you say you have a cold lunch.
Oh, no. Cold lunch meant you brought it from home or something.
Or you would just say brown bag.
So let's say, like, I used to bring my lunch, and when I wouldn't eat that lunch, and I'd go get McDonald's or something, at the end of the day, we all had a tradition. If you did not eat your home-cooked lunch, then it was going to be on someone's car at the end of the day. Whether between, like, ham and cheese sandwiches all over windshields, the radio antenna, there was going to be a banana through that thing. smearing eggs.
Hey, that gives me a good idea, because there is about one day a week here where I don't eat my turkey sandwich.
I
go to McDonald's on my way home.
Let's
You're going to find it in your car in the parking garage.
That's actually a lot better than what people used to take dog and rub it on people's car handles.
It's like Pasadena stuff.
Yeah, that's what we would do.
Yeah. What do you make of that lunch lady? Valdez was upset that everybody was calling the lunch lady hot. I thought this morning that when everyone was talking about the lunch lady fornicating with a 14-year-old,
no,
or sending him messages.
No, I said that's the hottest lunch lady I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When you think of lunch lady, all right, you think of gray-haired Adam Sandler movies.
Moles. I think moles.
Yeah, moles. With hair growing out of the moles.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, their shriveled hands that are covered in plastic because they can't touch the fries themselves.
What was your favorite lunch lady meal as a kid? Or as a kid or in high school, whenever you got it? Like, what's your fondest meal at school?
Well, see, I said this on air that I had blood who was a lunch lady. I had a relative.
Yeah. All right, what did blood serve you that you enjoyed?
My Myers family name used to work in the cafeteria and used to serve all the kids, and I would try to avoid her as much as possible so I wouldn't get bullied. But I would go to her every turkey day.
Oh, turkey day.
Turkey day was the first Thursday of every month and Thanksgiving week. And turkey day was a big deal in our high school.
Oh, yeah.
This stuff looks like slop, but it is the most tasty slop in the world. The stuffing is yellow. It looks like piss, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's as yellow as a lemon lime Starburst. It's the slop of the gravy is so good. The turkey's so good. But I would go see my relative, and I would endure the humiliation, because when you're 17 years old, that's what it is. It's humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I knew she would give me an extra scoop. I would go see her, and she knew how good that turkey was. Yeah. And I get that extra scoop from her, and I have to be in there with my boys, and she's asking me about my Aunt Brenda.
Hey, what about the pumpkin ice cream at the end of the day for that? Oh, did you guys not have pumpkin?
I don't know what kind of Ritz-Carlton school you went to.
We got ice cream, bro. It was fruit, vegetables, milk, and your entree.
I'm talking about the turkey day, though. You would have pumpkin ice cream.
There was no pumpkin ice cream on turkey day.
That sucks, then. I went to a high school during Michelle Obama times when she was promoting celery and vending machines. Yeah. I had the bad school lunch.
That's true. I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I'm trying to find a picture of the school lunch.
All right, let me tell you about this Pacific Northwest delicacy. They're called cheese zombies. All right?
Oh, my God. This is what the turkey looked like.
All right. I remember. I've eaten that. Plenty of times in my life. You're going to make me throw up. Those mashed potatoes were good, though.
Look at that.
That watery gravy.
I love it.
I mean,
that first one you showed me.
It makes me want to puke.
That first one you showed me with like the shredded turkey and the watery gravy and then the mashed potatoes brought back a lot of memories. Cheese zombies was like a sheet pan thing, but it was soft, pillowy dough. And the only thing inside the dough was like Velveeta cheese.
That sounds silly.
It was baked and it was so good.
Did you dip it in anything?
I you didn't need to. It was just melted cheese, just poured out of it. It was butter, cheese, and bread. The three best things on earth.
Hey, when you were in school, did you ever have the school bully that would say, "Give me your lunch money."
No,
that doesn't exist nowadays.
No, back, right? Back in the like the Greece era.
Also, you know what I don't like? I talked about this with Otis Spunkmeyer.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's a racket, because when you're 13 years old, you think you can make any decisions about your food when you're 13 and you're in the cafeteria, and they're selling Snickers ice cream bars for 75 cents and your full school lunch is $1.10. Do you think you're rational enough in your underdeveloped brain to buy a school lunch over a Snickers ice cream bar?
Yes,
and then you're satisfied for about 20 minutes out of your life, and you are ready to crash from the blood sugar, and you're starving at noon.
Hey, well, somehow we all made it through, didn't we?
Sort of.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, yeah. I definitely blew all my lunch money at the school store.
Uh-huh.
Or the cafeteria for cookies or whatever it was. All right, let's take a quick break. We got some fun stuff to get into. Maybe we only got a little bit left in the show.
Hold on. Before we come back, I have a lot of questions about you and what you did this weekend. Can you tell our non-Instagram viewing listeners
Absolutely.
What you did?
Yeah, I think you guys will like it. All right, we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Welcome back to Bit Season episode 75. I was very curious about something Drab posted over the weekend, and we teased it coming back from break. But before we get to that, we need to thank our sponsor, Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Don't sleep on the boys from Bit Season. Not only do we bring you this money podcast, but we also carry the junkies every morning. And how do we muster up all the hype and energy to pull this off? It's Don't Sleep Energy Drink, the official energy drink of Bit Season. Grab some yourself at don'tsleepenergy.com and check them out on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy. They're always posting great stuff there. Don't Sleep contains premium ingredients like caffeine, taurine, B group vitamins, and use the promo code BITTIES, 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 for 10% off every order at don'tsleepenergy.com. You can also find them on Amazon. If you just type in Don't Sleep Energy, boom, you'll see it. And we appreciate Mike for sponsoring the show. Drab's got his Don't Sleep right now. He's drinking the, what is that, the sugar-free?
Sugar-free.
I'm going to have mine on my drive home so that I'm not tired.
You'll see EB drinking it during the show.
EB, he is a thief.
He's
the biggest energy thief I've ever seen. But we love Mike, and we love Don't Sleep Energy. Use the promo code BITTIES so you know that we sent you.
All right, so this past weekend, Clary, and for the guys who don't follow me on Instagram, even though you should, follow me at Drab T-shirt.
What are you doing?
I'm not an Instagram guy, but I'll give Drabby a follow.
All right, that is such a lie.
I see.
That is such a lie.
It's not a lie.
All he does is show us girls' tits on Instagram.
Check out the curly stocking on Instagram.
No, I'm not.
Check out the rack.
Lie.
Check out the rack on Julie.
Lie.
100%. Clay, just give me a follow. You don't have to lie.
Just followed.
That's the biggest bull place lie I've ever heard. All right.
So this past weekend was my buddy Zach's 40th birthday party. If you are longtime Junkies listeners, Zach is my tennis partner from when we entered into the Open tournament, and I got smoked by college tennis players 6-0, 6-0. We were embarrassed, but he's a great guy. I've been friends with him for a long time, but he recently got into hunting probably 5 years ago.
All right.
Because his stepdad is like famous in the hunting community.
What is his stepdad hunt? Why are you laughing?
I'm just looking at the pictures.
Oh.
All right. You name it. Big game. Apparently, I haven't even looked it up. He showed me there's a video on YouTube of his stepdad and a friend on an African safari. And
having an elephant gun from Jumanji.
The lion attacks them.
What?
The lion springs from the bush and slices his friend's leg open, and his stepdad ends up killing the lion.
What?
All right, it's so out of mind. You should watch the video. And they had to like,
hey, did he elope with a Brit?
I guess his stepdad lives in Tennessee, so they do all the big games.
Did he throw someone off the deck of the HMS Majestic? Ryan, I don't know why you're laughing. You don't want to understand.
Well, he's laughing that we're laughing, okay. Which I like.
Okay,
I like you guys.
I like making Drab smile.
All right. So, and I'm not condoning big game hunting or anything. I don't know anything about it. So I'm not a hunter. I don't even know how to fire a gun. Okay. But he was his birthday, and I know that he's into hunting, and he invited me and his friend Will out to go pheasant hunting.
All right.
Out in hillbilly land in Culpeper. And I also tell you, I love it out there. Yeah. I wish I lived in Culpeper. It's just out in the middle of nowhere. It's not commercialized. There's not a billion homes everywhere. There's just...
You have acreage.
There's just land. You're just not overwhelmed by city life. And I'm saying that as a person who lives in Loudoun County. It's just quiet.
It's quiet. Did they have mom and pa restaurants?
So many mom and pa like burger places and all that kind of stuff that I'm into.
All right. I'm into that.
Probably soda pop shops,
ice cream tours,
ice cream parlors.
Yeah.
There's definitely ice cream.
It's a lock. You could get a root beer float somewhere.
There is a place out there called Moothru,
yes,
in Culpeper, somewhere around there.
Yep.
That the line was down the street of people, just 75 townies waiting to get ice cream.
It looked
so much fun. All right, that's not the point of it, but I liked it out there.
But so, you went. Pheasant hunting.
I went pheasant hunting.
Can you explain what a pheasant is?
No. Actually, a pretty bird. Very pretty bird.
Drab was pumping lead into doves.
they're bigger than I thought, maybe. I don't know. Like, what was that, 2 feet tall?
Yeah.
Like a mini turkey.
Kind of like a mini turkey. But what they do, I didn't know anything, first thing about it. If you told me we're going pheasant hunting, I just assumed we're going out into the woods and shooting birds that are flying around.
Right.
That's not what happens.
Okay.
There's a tour guide. There's a guide. We had to go to a preserve. The guide goes into the barn, grabs all the pheasants. Okay, all right. They're in cages.
Okay.
Puts him to sleep somehow. Okay. I was told that he somehow.
He's blown doobies in their face.
Somehow.
He
spins them around. They do something. They make the birds dizzy.
Makes them the birds delirious.
And then the guide goes out into the field and places them out there. So he knows where they are.
Okay.
All right.
It's like a trick or treat. No. Easter egg hunt.
It's an adult Easter egg hunt. It's a great example.
It's the White House. It was an Easter egg roll or Easter roll.
It's 100% what it is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's blood and guts Easter eggs.
When mom has to X her map in the yard of where she put the eggs.
Hey, but let me tell you, even though as much of a setup and a gimmick as it is, like, you, all right, I wonder where the bird's at. I had so much fun, and I haven't felt like a man like that in many, many years. Yeah. So you go out there, we did a warm-up, we did some clay shooting in the very beginning. I'm embarrassing myself. I don't even know how to load ammo. Okay, I'm putting.
Well, that's fine. But this is you're taking part into something that your friend likes. I know, I like this. This is good.
I put Valdez. I put the shell in backwards. And suddenly, the guy runs over to the gun and goes, "Jesus Christ!" takes the shotgun out of my hand.
like you're a child.
He said, "What are you doing?"
He checked to see if he had a cock.
So embarrassing. It was so emasculated.
This is one thing that Drab hates. Drab hates not knowing how to anything. Yeah.
I do hate that.
That is Drab's biggest fear is, and this is why like Drab won't golf or he won't CrossFit or anything like this. Is because it's not that he's scared that he'll whiff the ball. It's that he's scared of the procedure it takes.
I'm just
he doesn't like being a fish out of water.
Mm-hmm. That's accurately said.
He likes what he likes, and if it's new to him, the fear isn't the act itself. The fear is just not knowing protocol.
Well, let me tell you, there was a fear in the act of itself, and I'll tell you why.
I kind of want to go with you, but could we play like the Vietnam songs on a Bluetooth speaker while we're shooting? Like Buffalo Springsteen.
That's exactly what it felt like. I felt like Forrest Gump walking through those fields with my gun on my shoulder.
Looking for some guy named Charlie.
100%. All right. So here's the great thing about it. They have a dog, right? They have a hound.
Yeah.
The hound is so wound up, it's ready to go. Like the hound loves this thing. Okay. Uh-huh. It's on its hunt. It knows exactly what is like. This was bred for this. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. I'm watching. He's telling me what's going to happen is the dog's going to be in front of you. The dog's going to stir up the bird. The bird's going to fly in the air, and then you're going to shoot the bird.
Yeah.
But he said, I want to be very clear about something, okay? Keep in mind, I don't even know how to barely shoot guns. Uh-huh. He goes, don't shoot the bird until it's eye level. He goes, last year, someone killed my dog. Immediately, I start sweating on the,
your game hound is old Yeller.
So then I'm in a full blown panic for the next 3 hours that I'm going to shoot this poor guy's dog. Yeah. And let me tell you, I felt like I could have killed this dog, and I feel fortunate.
You probably got a big shotgun with a big old blast on it that has a huge spray radius.
A huge spray radius. Let me tell you, the birds, they don't get stirred up and shoot straight up in the air. No. They go sideways, and then they zoom back the other way. And so you got to wait until they get like high level.
Shoot!
Meanwhile, Jurassic Park, shoot her!
The dog is right in front of you. You're shooting over the dog's back.
I'd be more worried about pulling a Dick Cheney.
I was a little worried about that, too, but I figured out quickly, you're walking the fields, right?
Yeah.
So I said, let me be on the end. I'll be on the left. And I only shot birds that went to my left. Anything to my right, I let them have. But everybody else was shooting at the left, right, down the middle.
On the left.
Yeah. If that thing was out of range for everybody else, I start shooting it. I wasn't going to send anyone to the hospital.
We need to tell the biddies.
But the dog was running everywhere. Like you couldn't control the dog.
Yeah, Drab loading his gun wasn't the most emasculating thing from the hunt. Do you know what the most emasculating thing was?
What is it?
when he was asking me what shoes he should wear. And he was telling me, I went to DSW and got the buy one, get one half off shoe price for my hunting boots, my waterproof hunting boots. You got to see my waterproof hunting boots.
This is being a dick.
If there's one snowflake outside, Valdez starts tromping in here in these goofy snow boots. Okay? He looks like an idiot, like a six-year-old whose mommy dressed him for his first day of snow. He's got these giant snow boots. He's got boots for every occasion. I don't care about. I'm not an outdoorsy guy. You know what I wear when it snows? I wear tennis shoes. Zach told me you got to wear boots when you go hunting. So I didn't want to show up wearing tennis shoes or dress shoes or something like that. Something amazing. So I had to go to DSW to buy boots, and I was proud of the fact that I bought boots that were originally tagged for $140 for $39. I'm proud of it.
You imagine the guy the guy in the Foot Locker striped uniform. He goes, "Hey, can I help you with something?" "Yeah, I'm gonna go pheasant hunting." "What kind of shoes you got?" "No, what kind of sick Jordans you have for your pheasant hunting?"
"I brought some brown boots that were waterproof."
He also wore them during our big sophisticated meeting yesterday.
No, I didn't. Those were different boots.
He's Amelia Earhart.
We had hillbillies from Richmond. We had to meet. So Drab wore hillbilly hunting boots to the meeting. And he props them up on the table. All right, like he's the Nevada congressman in Casino. He's going, "I'm one of you," as he puts his big Timberlands on the
"Will you idiot shut up?" They had a boot sale at DSW. I bought two pairs of boots because I didn't have any. So I bought some hunting boots, and then I bought some dress up boots. That I wore yesterday, for the Richmond meeting. Okay, but those are like suede or something.
So, those are not honey boots. Puss in boots.
You guys are so stupid. Can I tell you, if it wasn't so expensive, and thank God for my friend Zach paid for it, because when they gave me
that's quite the present.
It was $250 per person, and that wasn't even including the price for the birds that you killed to take home.
They had to de-bullet them and everything.
No, that was something. I did go into the shed with a guide afterwards. We went in there. I watched him cut these birds open, rip their guts out, all kinds of stuff. I did. You felt like a man.
Now
he goes,
that's
"How many?"
True.
He goes, "How many birds do you want?" And I go,
"I'm just watching."
I go, "Why don't you give them to my friend Zach to take home? He'll eat them." So I will say,
probably think he's Jeffrey Dahmer in there watching him.
I'm not gonna go home and eat a clucker bird or whatever, a chuckster bird or whatever. You know,
I'm gonna fry up some pheasant tonight.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna eat pheasant. Let the hillbillies eat them. So they were all eaten, and I think it was a good experience because you do feel one with nature, if that's the right. Yeah. Not one with nature. That's stupid. You appreciate the fact that you're actually killing something and eating it. And even when I got home and I had fried chicken that night for dinner, I appreciated the life that died for my dinner. Yeah. You don't ever think about it.
I know what you mean. You feel like you're in the wilderness, surviving on your, not like a survivalist.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you did. Like
we didn't have all these modern amenities 100 years ago. This is how someone lived in the 1900s.
There's a fine line between hunting and feeling the rush of killing something. I can see where serial killers can get the rush. If that makes any sense.
Let me ask you,
as horrific as that is, there's no feeling like blowing a bird away. I can see why hunters love it. I can get into it.
I imagine Trev killing the bird and then standing over top of it like he's a linebacker who just sacked the quarterback.
The first one, you're like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I took a life." The second one, you're like, "That wasn't so bad." The third one, you're like, "Come out, get out of there.
Why'd you shoot the bird laying on the ground? To make sure it's dead."
Oh, there was a little bit of that too. Sometimes the birds aren't dead.
Oh God!
And they go, but they have to end the suffering. So he goes, yeah. "Do you want to break its neck, or should I?" And this is how you kill a bird, right? You pinch its neck. It's been shot, and then you go like this.
Oh my you look God. Like Pete
Pablo. You whip the bird around until its neck breaks. And then,
take him out of his suffering.
Thank you. It was an experience. I'll say, I don't know if I'll ever go on it again.
You can't waste a shell on a bird that's already half dead.
No, those things cost $20 a piece.
$20?
Yeah,
that's so cheap.
So, yeah. No, $20 whether you kill or it flies away. Like that's where the $250 comes in, I guess. There were 20 birds out there.
That's a great story.
20 birds. How many did you get?
We ended up killing
out of
20. Other birds are also like birds that people miss or flying into your field. So I don't know. There were more than 25 birds out there. We killed 17.
All right, that's a good percentage.
And I killed four or five. But I'm
silly.
Dude, I'm going.
I know you're half the field. Playing with half the field.
I'm the only non-gun owner there. My friend Zach goes hunting every weekend. The other guy's got his entire room in his house. He's got a Glock, a shotgun, rifles. He's a gun nut. I didn't even know which way the shell goes. So I was happy with myself. 4 out of 17.
Are you going to go hunting again?
If he invites me, I would. But he does,
if
you know.
He pays for it. Yeah.
You think I'm going to pay $300 to go?
Hey, there's nothing more emasculating. He doesn't want to get his boots dirty. Daddy paid for his hunting.
No, can I say something? Like, if that was a bachelor party.
Oh, yeah, that'd be so much fun.
It would be so much fun. All bachelor parties are the same. They're boring. A lot of them are boring, sitting around drinking, trying to figure out which stripper to go call over or whatever.
Allegedly.
There was no strippers at my. I'm very proud. No strippers at my bachelor party.
Just allegedly,
a lot of weed.
Yeah.
The only boobs were Adam's man boobs.
Yeah. It would make it the perfect.
I was also
bachelor
not invited.
Party.
For the record, I was not invited.
Yeah, you were not invited to my bachelor party. It would be just a day with the boys.
I know. It sounds amazing.
Silly.
If
Biddy's want us to come hunt,
I will go hunting. If Biddy's want to take us hunting. As long as,
I've been goose hunting.
What's the difference?
There is no difference.
Yeah, okay, same thing.
except ours is we didn't walk anywhere. We sat in a hut and everybody drank a 30 pack.
The rush when you see that pheasant running down the field and you're chasing after it, going, "Get back here!"
Hey, did you wear a lot of orange?
Wore orange hat.
Hey, you don't look so out of place.
You don't know what a rush until the guide says, "Safety's off."
That almost gets my prick card like gentlemen, start your engines.
No, it was a fun day. It was a good day, good experience, and I could see myself doing that like every year or two. I'd like to go out on a hunt or something like that.
Do you think maybe you'll graduate to something bigger?
I don't want to sit around in a tree and wait for something. I like the stalk. So I don't know what else you can do out there to go find that kind of stuff, but I guess in a way you kind of are.
Deer would be kind of silly.
Zach said he's going to go shoot a brown bear in a couple weeks, and he's going to get it taxidermied and making a rug in his house. He's one of those guys. So
he's going to have a bear skin rug,
and then he's going alligator hunting. He's all into the exotic stuff now. So, anyways, good day, good hunting 101. Yeah, thank you. All right, well maybe
are you going to train? Are you going to train Oakley to be your guide?
You know what? No, he's too fat and dumb.
Hey, I got hound dogs.
All right, any biddies out there want to take us hunting? And not cowboy hot dog.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? It'd be fun with Cowboy Toddy. We should go hunting with Cowboy Toddy. But Cowboy's got to take us, like, do something exciting. I don't want to sit around and drink beer.
In a tree stand.
In a tree stand.
How many times I've heard stories about people that sit in a tree stand and they're in there watching the night vision and then. In order to keep awake, they got to jerk off.
Yeah.
I've never heard jerk off in a tree stand.
Never heard of that.
You haven't?
No. All right. We'll get Cowboy's Todd thoughts on that.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. We'll see you soon. Thanks for listening to Bit Season.
See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.